Tonight we have Lee Stackpool.
Hello.
I'm hoping to be joined by Alan, and Richard, and James, and possibly Harry, but we'll see if technology can hold up. And today's episode, we're talking about the films of 2011. So anything that came out that year, and we're going to go through the top 10 highest grossing films of the year, and we mentioned a few others, which surprising omissions from the top 10, as always, with every year. It always seems to be the same films, doesn't it?
Do you know what? I've just scrolled through our little official list that we're working off here, right? Yeah. And one of my favourite films that I've only got around to actually watching very recently, the last couple of months, is number 43.
Yeah.
So it's, you know,
mad,
what I mean?
It's mad.
It's
So box office does not necessarily mean good film.
No, because a lot of the time it's, you know, your generic sort of, you know, your film version of easy listening, innit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's gonna sell. And yeah, you kind of niche films,
yeah,
you fly under the radar, aren't they?
Yeah, and looking at this seems like a very sequel heavy year. In fact, looking at the top 10, it might be a different top 10, but you've got there. But
no, it's all of them. Yeah, it's,
they're all sequels.
Yeah,
I mean, number 10, even though it's a standalone film, it's a sequel to the Marvel films. So it's interesting to see what happens with these films. And we're just being joined by Harry. All right, Harry.
Hello.
You all right?
Brilliant.
We've just started talking about the highest grossing films, so we're just going to start with number 10, but we're just saying about the films being very sequel heavy.
Yeah, I've just seen that actually when I had a look at the link that you sent through.
Yeah, I might have sent the wrong link, so just be prepared, it might be different. Okay, so we start with number 10. So number 10, grossing worldwide $65,723,000, is Thor. So this is the original Thor film, obviously part of the Marvel Universe. Chris Hemsworth starring, and what's the lady's name?
That was Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman, that's the one. So what do we think?
That was a great one, wasn't it? It's a great thought.
It was good, I enjoyed it.
Even if you're like myself, a casual Marvel, DC things, conflicting out of them, wouldn't say I've watched them ritually.
Yeah.
Thor was easy to like, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was an easy to like superhero.
He's a good looking guy, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's a very good looking guy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's seen as one of the weaker films, I think, of the Marvel films, but I really liked it. It has Kenneth Branagh directing it, so with his sort of Shakespeare chops on, and it needed that sort of thespian feel to it, didn't it? It has got a bit of it.
It's got Andy Hopkins into it.
Andy Hopkins,
certainly. Maybe he only agreed because like Kenneth rang him up.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
But
yeah, Chris Hemsworth plays Thor, obviously, who is the Prince of Asgard. Odin, his son, his dad's played by Anthony Hopkins. And then I think the standout role, though, is Tom Hiddleston's Loki. Personally, absolutely outstanding.
Well, another Shakespearean actor, funnily enough.
Exactly.
I've seen some of his Tom Hiddleston Shakespeare, and I have to say, he's bloody good, like.
Yeah, and thoroughly deserves the series that he's got at the moment on Disney+.
Do you know what he does? And in terms of the... It probably is one of the weaker ones, but I like the Thor films, and I like how it ended, even though I haven't seen Endgame, so I don't know how the lot of it ends.
Yeah.
I know how the Thor sort of character arc goes with him coming back to Earth, and he ends up basically as, you know, Odin, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Right down to he loses an eye for doing...
he does, yeah.
For doing good things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I liked it. I'd say rather than say you'd have to be a little bit harsh to bash that a little bit too much.
Yeah, I agree. It's good. Certainly better than the sequel. The sequel is okay, but again, not as good.
No.
It was just lacking
that tongue-in-cheekness, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Just something missing, yeah. What do you think, Harry?
No, I like the Thor film. I agree with you, Carlo. As I say, it's not one of the better Marvel films, but it's a likeable Marvel film. It's a nice introduction to the kind of Viking kind of Norse mythology as well that goes on within the Marvel universe. So no, I liked it.
Yeah, brilliant, good stuff. All right, so that's number 10. Number 9, accumulating 39,000. That can't be right, can it? That's smaller than the previous one. Let me just check. Am I looking at the wrong one? Oh, that's the opening weekend I've been reading out. Ah, typical. So, yeah, I'll read out the gross. So, the gross again, sorry for Thor. I thought that was a bit low. Was 181 million. Ah, that sounds more like it.
Yeah.
That does sound
more
reasonable.
That's the list I've got here.
I was thinking then. So, number 9, grossing 186 million, is Sherlock Holmes: A Game of Shadows. What do you think?
I mean, what a sequel.
Yeah.
Like, sequel that was better. The first one was brilliant.
Was.
The second one was phenomenal. Jared Harris as Moriarty?
Yeah.
Wow.
Brilliant, yeah. And it's obviously starring Robert Downey Jr. as Sherlock Holmes and Jude Law
as Dr.
plays
Watson.
Dr. Watson.
That's the pair of them. What, right? Them films deserve a lot more credit, you know?
Yeah.
They were really good.
They're good knockabout films, aren't they?
They were really... Do you know what? Good films on loads of different levels, faithful enough to the story, with it being loads of action.
Yeah.
Right down to Sherlock's being a bit of a naughty boy with his drinking and his opium. And all.
Yeah.
All of it's in there.
Yeah.
And it just had that quality. Everyone looked like they were having a good time making it. And Jared Harris's body arty, he was brilliant.
He was
the
good.
The fight scene on Rickenback Falls in Switzerland at the end, superb.
Yeah.
Superb. Yeah. Stephen Fry is Mycroft.
Oh, yeah, is it? I forgot he was in it, yeah.
Yeah.
See, I remember the first one more. I think I've seen the first one a few times. I've only seen the second one once. But I really enjoyed it. Went to pictures to see it. Really enjoyed it.
I think the only thing that's let that down is if you look over the last, probably a little bit more than 10 years now, we've probably been saturated with Sherlock. You've had Elementary.
Yeah.
Was that the American one?
Yeah. With Lucy Liu.
With Lucy Liu.
Yeah.
You had the Sherlock's with Benedict, didn't you?
Yeah.
That were really good.
The BBC one.
BBC one, which I watched one or two of, didn't hate them. They were all right, as what they needed to be. A modern day adaptation, if you will.
I really liked them. I thought they were really good. Like, as you say, like a modern day adaptation. Yeah.
You were.
Nice little spin.
I just thought these films would probably come in the middle of that and probably haven't had... People haven't probably thought of them as the standouts. I remember one of the first pictures my dad took me to was young Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, that's a great film.
On Butlins when I was about 10.
Was it?
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Young Sherlock Holmes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, Harry?
I can't lie. I've not seen the Sherlock films.
No? Not even the first one?
No, not even the first one. I've seen them, like, you know, on Netflix and stuff, and I've kind of watched the trailers for them, but I don't know why I've never bothered to watch them.
Yeah.
Because my mum's seen them and she enjoys them.
Mm. They take a bit more of an action stance, don't they? Like, when Sherlock's fighting with someone, it sort of goes into his mind and goes a bit slow motion, doesn't it? And I'm thinking I'm going to punch him in the face and I'm going to break his jaw and I'm going to break his rib or whatever. And he's sort of methodical like that.
Yeah.
And then it plays out at normal speed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Clever. It's good.
It's
just different, isn't it?
It's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
It has everything.
Yeah.
It has the quick delivery. It has the campiness to it. It's just great.
Yeah.
I thought it looked, you know, it looks like Victorian London as
does.
Well.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Filmed in Liverpool, the first
filmed
one.
Filmed in Liverpool.
Yeah.
You can
I thought the second one was, but yeah, the first one definitely was.
You can pick out the scenes with it down by the docks, can't you?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, down by Asda. All there. Same as Captain America was. Yeah. Brilliant. Any more to say about that one?
No.
No.
You know what? Go watch it.
Yeah.
Just go watch it.
It's
if you
a
haven't
good...
seen it, have a drink, go watch some Sherlock.
Yeah.
And you'll want to be Sherlock.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
So number 8, grossing $191 million at the box office, is the sequel to Cars, aptly named Cars 2. Anyone seen it?
We mentioned this in the Pixar thing.
I think
didn't we?
Yeah. I remember watching it and thinking it's not as good. So this is the one with Michael Caine in. He plays like a spy car.
I like I said, when we've done the Pixar ones, I know of them. If you were to show me a scene of them, I'd know it was Cars.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever sitting there watching it.
Yeah.
And knowing what was going on. I just know the imagery of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I remember being very disappointed by it. Because I really liked the first one. The first one's just sort of, you know, he goes to the sleepy town and it's sort of turned around, being like a big city in a sleepy town, if you like, and then sort of turns life around that way. The second one, I don't know, it plays to the cartoons too much, you know what I mean? It plays to like the silliness of it too much. And I know it is silly, it's Cars, talking Cars, but I don't know, it didn't have anything to say. It was just a film of cars being silly.
Is the second one the one where they're driving around the streets of what looked like Monte Carlo?
Possibly. I thought it might be in Italy.
It's the it might be Italy, but there's a certain bend in there that's literally exactly like the Formula One bend in Monaco.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because quite a lot of people compare it to that one. I know that they say like the bend's literally like it's like a really tight hairpin.
Oh yeah, because you're in ZF1, aren't you?
Yeah. It's even got the palm trees in the middle of the hairpin, like it does in Monaco. So.
Oh right.
I've not seen it. That's why I was asking. Is it that one?
I'm not too sure. I'll be honest. Well, if I remember correctly, there's not much racing goes on in this. Or does he? Did he do a tour of Europe? Is that why they're in Europe? I'm not sure. I can't remember. I can't remember too much about it, but I was disappointed by it.
Yeah.
Because I like the first one. Even the third one's alright. Third one goes back to the racing. This just felt like a bit of a deviation from it. Weird to watch. It's Pixar. You're not going to go wrong too far higher, but yeah, not one of the best films. I can't remember if this one or the first one where he's got Michael Schumacher in it. Michael Schumacher plays a Ferrari in one of them.
I don't think it's the first one.
Is that the first one?
I think it's the second or third where they start having like the F1 kind of cars.
I feel like Lewis Hamilton might be in the third one. I'm not too sure.
Fair enough.
Yeah, maybe he's a bit young. I'm not too sure. But anyway, number 7 on our list of the highest grossing films of 2011 is raking in $209 million at the box office is Mission Impossible: Ghost Protocol. We feel like a broken record here, don't we? Because we keep mentioning these films. And it's the same ones every couple of years, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah. It's a template that's worked. I mean, Tom Cruise, do you know what? I like him as an actor. He's had a great career, Harry. And he's got that template. It's like Sylvester Stallone with his Expendables. Tom Cruise is like, what's everyone always hungry for? Do you know what? Your big budget, your flashy, people jumping off buildings on set, tanks. You know what I mean? It's the reason people like James Bond. It's the reason people like Fast and the Furious. It's the reason people like Expendables. It's that it's not going to tax you psychologically. Mm. You're not going to see every way it's acting. You know what? But you're just going to have a visual sort of feast with set pieces, aren't you?
Absolutely. And a lot of practical effects as well, because obviously Tom does his own stunts, doesn't he?
Do you know what? He's married to like... He's married to... I don't know how he's managed to pressure the studios. I don't know whether the studios are a little bit frightened. They're saying no to him.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe because it's his baby now, he can do what he wants.
Well, isn't he like executive producer or something like that?
He is. Yeah, I think it's practically his film now, so he must just say now. They go, yeah, I'm doing it.
Yeah, I'm doing this. I'm going to jump off this film. Because this film, and they all sort of melt into one, don't they? This is the one where he's hanging off the side of the building, isn't it? I'm not sure where it is, whether it's Dubai or somewhere like that.
It's the big iconic building. I've seen obviously the stunts and all of that. Like,
and it's spectacular. They're brilliant, aren't they? They are really good.
Yeah.
I can't remember the premise of it, because as I say, they all sort of melt into one. But probably someone's trying to get rid of the Mission Impossible team.
I like the first one. I remember the first one because it had a bit of everything, didn't it? And then I can't remember anything about the others.
Oh yeah.
I just know bits, and they've all sort of blended.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Yeah. Mission Impossible 3 is by John Woo, wasn't it? He was the director. And that's the one when he's hanging off the cliff at the start. That's the one with the bikes in. Like, he's on the motorbike a lot, isn't he? I can't remember two. I've seen them all. I can't tell you the thing.
Do you know what? It's one of them. You put them on, you kind of like...
Yeah.
Your brain just processes it, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's just an enjoyable action film.
Yeah.
And, you know, what are we up to now? Number 7 coming out, or 9 or something stupid? Something ridiculous.
Yeah, they're not stopping anytime soon, because, why would they?
And rightly so, because they're enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen it, this one, Harry?
I've seen bits of it, but I've not seen it all the way through. Is it the one where, what's his face? Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, yeah, Simon Pegg's in it, isn't he?
Is that where he starts? It's his first appearance, is it, in the Mission Impossible films?
I think he might have been in the previous one, and this was his first time when he's part of the team. Or you might be right. I'm not too sure.
I've just got that bit out of the trip with Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon.
Oh yeah.
Where Rob Brydon's wife and Steve Coogan up, and he's like, Simon Pegg, he's doing alright, isn't he? In Hollywood, working with Tom Cruise and stuff like that. And it's scripted, but it's also like they're trying to antagonise each other as well, yeah.
It's good, the trip. I do like that when I see the odd episode now and again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't seen them all, yeah. But yeah, good film, worth watch. Like it. Right, number 6, and again, another one with it's probably about a million films on them. This time, I'm very similar to Mission Impossible, raking in $209.8 million, is Fast 5, Fast and the Furious 5. Again, I can't tell you anything about it.
It's Mission Impossible, and Deb's made me probably watch this. I don't know, it's got Jason Statham in it, so yeah. Deb's going to
The Rock's probably
watch
in it.
It. Yeah, I think The Rock was in it. This could have been the one that was the first one The Rock was in it. Yeah. And then he fell out with Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Whatever that's about.
It might even be The Rock was the baddie. Rock, The Rock's trying to catch them. It might be this one.
Yeah.
That he's trying to catch him, because he eventually joins the team, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. He recruits them to go and... I've seen it not that long ago. And it kind of just blends into, like... explosions and cars, yeah, and like, yeah, they were on a submarine or something, the last one, and something about Jason Statham skydiving with a baby strapped to him. That was I've seen them and I can't remember what's going on.
Yeah, that's, and that's okay, because,
yeah,
because it's like, what is it, chewing gum for the brain, as it, we said before.
Yeah. Do you know what, at the end of the day, Mission Impossible Fast, you could probably go with the kids and watch the pit with it, and there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
There's nothing extreme in it. There's, yeah, nothing, it's cartoon violence, so there's, yeah, nothing that's, you know, I don't want my kids watching this, it's too violent, because it's just all comic strip. There's, yeah, nothing overly gratuitous in,
yeah,
it, that you're,
there's
gonna
no,
be like,
overly gory, is,
no,
it not,
there's
at all,
nothing,
yeah,
there's nothing in it, so it's pretty much something for everyone in it.
Yeah.
You know, you can go with the family and watch it, and everyone will probably, yeah, be able to watch it.
We definitely need to do a special, like, sort of series of episodes where Richard watched them. I want to see Richard Allen watching the Fast and Furious films, because I know he's...
It's not going to go down well,
because not,
the cars all seem to run on infinite amounts of fuel.
But I think that's why it'll be funny.
Yeah.
Just hearing his criticisms of all... Because I can imagine him making a list of things that... Everything that's wrong with the Fast and the Furious,
yeah,
franchise... In realistic terms.
Yeah, be like, yeah, Richard, not on that ice with them tyres.
Yeah. 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 He's in the wrong gear there.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, no, no.
Like it. Yeah, so Fast 5, it is what it is, isn't it? And these, again, these are all sequels. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Right, number 5 on our list is raking in $241 million at the box office. Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
Right, is this the one where he's in Pirate of Purgatory? Is this the one?
It's the one with Penelope Cruz in, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, so
it's,
yeah,
that one where he's in Pirate of Purgatory, and Penelope Cruz is like the voodoo woman, is she, Harry?
Oh, no, she's another pirate,
no,
isn't she?
I think this is the fourth one, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. The voodoo one, she's... Is that the third one she's in?
Or is it?
It's not Penelope... Yeah, we need to know.
Quickly check.
Go on, you check, Harry, you check. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think it is the fourth one, because the fifth one's called...
Yeah, it's the fourth one, because it's got the mermaids in it, hasn't it?
That's right, yeah. Is the fifth one called Salazar's Revenge?
Something like that.
So, yeah, so this is like the fourth one, the one after the main trilogy, so there's no Orlando Bloom in it, I don't think, and no Keira Knightley. Am I right there?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so yeah, it is just sort of Johnny Depp and...
Jack Sparrow. Bob Bose is back in it though, isn't he?
He's what, sorry, mate?
Bob Bose is back in this one though.
Oh, that's right, and they're working together, is that right?
Yeah, because it's them and then there's Blackbeard, because they're going for the Fountain of Youth.
Ah, there you go. See, that's it.
Yes.
So, again, like Mission Impossible and like Fast and the Furious, these just melt into one film.
They do, yeah.
So, yeah, again, we need to watch these, don't we? Because I like the Pirates of the Caribbean films. They get a lot of stick these days. I know, like, the second and third one aren't seen as being very good. I didn't mind them.
You can throw them on and watch them. They're like the old Saturday afternoon adventure.
Swashbuckler.
Well, that's it, yeah. Because, I mean... Yeah, no, do you know what? They weren't bad. For what they done, they weren't bad,
yeah,
at all.
Because Johnny, that character, that Jack Sparrow... It's a great character.
Yeah.
He's watchable in it. He's,
yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah.
And they build the films around him, and rightly so, they should do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. And I think,
I remember this one though. It did so well because everyone was like, because they thought that it was finishing at number 3, and then it was 4 coming back out with Jack Sparrow as Captain Jack.
That's right.
Jack Sparrow as Captain. Johnny Depp was Captain Jack.
Captain Jack is Johnny Depp.
Like, oh yes, we're gonna watch this because he's coming back, and then I remember it bombing in the ratings. Because it just wasn't as good as the first three.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But then the fifth one...
I think the fifth one is better than this one.
I agree. I've seen the fifth one and enjoyed it. I watched it about 2 years ago now, and I enjoyed it. What's-his-face is in it, isn't he? Javier
Bardem.
He's in it. He plays, like, Salazar.
I've seen it. Yeah. I've watched it not so long ago.
Yeah. It is one,
yeah,
isn't,
yeah,
it? Yeah. So very similar... So, like, the fifth and sixth and seventh place films are all very similar in terms of they're part of a franchise and they all sort of melt into one.
That's what's selling them though, isn't it? That's why they're coming in so high, because they're a franchise. Everybody, you know, they're easy to watch. You know what you're going to get, don't you?
Yeah.
So people are prepared to go and see them in cinemas.
Yeah, it's less of a risk, isn't it, to watch this? You know what's happening, don't you? Yeah. All right, number five. That's number five. Oh, and we're just joined by Dr. Richard Earlham. All right, Richard Earlham.
It's Professor, if you don't mind.
Oh, I apologise.
Didn't
go to professor school for nothing. So we're just up to number four on the list, Richard. And we've just been talking about the Fast and the Furious franchise, and we definitely need to get you to watch them.
We need to get them to sit through. How many of you know? Is there like nine, and then you've got Hobbs and Shaw, and
Yeah. You can miss out Hobbs and Shaw, but I liked it. Oh, he's back. Hello, Richard, you're back.
Yeah, well, I was always here.
Oh, we couldn't hear you. Sorry, we couldn't hear you. Yeah, so we're going to do that, aren't we? We're going to do Fast and Furious franchise. You're going to watch them and pick out all the faults.
Oh, lovely, I love that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, so back to the list. We're up to number four. Grossing $254 million at the box office is The Hangover Part 2. So, personally, I thought The Hangover 1 was brilliant and a great concept and a great idea and well acted, and it was funny. Hangover Part 2 was just the same film.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah.
And I just felt I couldn't discern the difference between the two.
Yeah. And I was like, what's the point? There's no point to this film. But it raked in, the point was, it's raked in $250 million. And I think that's the reason why it exists. Yeah. So it sort of tells a story. Now, I can't remember the exact sort of plot line to it, but basically, they go on another night out. And then they lose a night, they lose the hours of the night, and they have to go spend the day trying to find out what happened in the night before, basically. Sounds about right?
Yeah.
I think, is it a different person this time that's missing, though?
I think so, yeah. Something else has happened, doesn't it? So I can't remember who it is. It's not the same guy, I don't think it is. I can't remember.
No, it's not the same guy. I'm trying to think.
I know, it's bad, isn't it? We have seen these films, we promise you, listeners, we have seen them.
it's not memorable, because it just wasn't as good as the first one, was it?
Yeah, very, very forgettable, literally. Because the first one, as you say, it was just groundbreaking, wasn't it? It was just sort of, a breath of fresh air. And, it was fantastic. But yeah, this one was just such a disappointment, just retreading new ground. And I think the third one was worse. I think they tried something different with the third one, but it just didn't sit well.
Didn't even know a third one existed.
Yeah. It does.
That's how good it must have been.
I know. It does exist, doesn't it? I'm sure there's a third one. I'm sure there is.
I think I've seen it, but it's completely slipped my mind that it even exists.
Yeah, well, maybe we need to watch these again and then sort of refresh our memory. Remember how bad they are. We've just been joined by Alan. Hello, Alan.
Hello.
All right. So he's talking about The Hangover Part 2. You seen it?
Yes.
What do you think?
Forgettable.
What
can I remember?
That's what you just said.
They were in Thailand, weren't they?
Is that where it is? Is it a stag do or something?
Called? A stag do in Thailand.
It's the one with the ladyboys in it.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, so it's like a retread of the Hangover, but in a different
country. A different
country,
place.
Different country, yeah.
That's right.
So it's almost the same plot points. What do I remember? I'll probably get mixed up with the actual The Hangover.
Well, that's what I've been saying, yeah. The first one, you could probably name loads of things that happen in it. Whereas this one, I can't think of that. When you've said that now, it's just brought it back. Because at the end, they have to take photos, don't they? And then don't you see like one of the ladyboys or something?
Yeah.
In the photos?
Yeah, because there's the ongoing joke, isn't it? They're all like, they're saying to him that you had sex with the transgender. And he's like, no, I definitely didn't.
Yeah. And then we see the pictures, yeah. Are we being, what's the word? Are we not being correct by saying ladyboys, by the way? Should we not say that?
They haven't even a show about it, the ladyboys of Bangkok, that's like a thing. So.
Okay then, fair enough. Because I don't want to say the wrong thing.
No, I think they say it in the film, but they probably say it in the film, you're not supposed to say it.
Yeah, so. Well, it's like 11 years old now, isn't it? 11 years old, so yeah, times have changed, times moved on. Yeah, but there we go. So The Hangover Part 2. So the third place film, raking in $281 million.
That was the fourth.
Oh, the fourth highest. Yeah. Now I'm assuming.
Bloody hell.
I've gone on to just so you know where I'm getting the information from. Box Office Mojo by IMDb Pro, and I've gone to domestic box office. So this is in the UK.
I did actually go and see it at the cinema.
Did
I
you?
I've never gone and seen it. Yeah.
So this is in the US. So obviously, if we went worldwide, it would be might be a different picture, but. So we're going off the US anyway. So, and it's the fourth place one.
Before you do the fourth, what was number five?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Did we talk about that?
Yeah, we did. Do you want to say something about it?
No, not really. I just feel like is that when I went? Is it?
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I don't mind. I like the Pirates film. They've got a good. Just a feel good film with me, let's go on to number three. I was just curious, that was all. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. That's all right. So yeah, number three. So this, I've just realised it's a domestic box office debut, as I said. So the Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn, Part One. Ooh. So,
any of us seen it? I don't think we have.
I have.
Unfortunately, I have.
I have.
I lost a bet and I had to watch them all.
Did you?
How many are there?
Is this the third one? Is it?
Did they do?
It is the third.
Did they do what they did with Harry Potter and they split the final one into the final book into two?
Yeah, basically.
Essentially, yeah.
Our Twilight expert Harry knows all about it. But
it's unfortunate that I have to watch it.
Just the least convincing relationship in movie history for me. I just don't understand why they are together in any of these films at all. It's just, I can believe in vampires and things, but I can't believe in their relationship. It's just ridiculous.
But they did actually date, didn't they?
I think they did in real life, didn't they? Yeah, so not the greatest film. So have you seen them all, obviously, but I've seen them all, and yeah, not convinced. So next film in the list, number two, is Transformers Dark of the Moon, which earned $352 million. Again, it's another sequel. It's one that sort of melts into each other.
Yes. I'm trying to figure out which is this one.
Is this number two?
No. This one's...
Three
or four.
Okay.
Number two is Revenge of the Fallen, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's right. So then this must be number
three,
so it must be number three. Yeah, because don't they find a Transformer on the other side of the moon? Dark of the Moon, hence the name.
I haven't seen a single
one. Seen it?
It's the one with Rosie Huntington Whiteley in it.
Ah, yes, because Megan Fox didn't want to be in it anymore, did she?
Ah.
And Patrick Dempsey. So it's the first one without Megan Fox.
Got it. Yeah, because they got in a sort of Megan Fox alike, didn't they?
Kind of. Yeah.
Sort of. Again, the Transformers films are what they are. I've got really bored with them, to be honest. I loved Transformers as a kid and loved the cartoon. And
did you like the first one?
I liked the first one. I remember going and seeing the first one thinking it looked amazing. I liked, to be fair, like Bumblebee. Bumblebee's really good.
Yeah, wasn't that like got good reviews, didn't it?
Yeah. But the mainline series, I just fell off. It just gets repetitive.
Is it all Michael Bay?
He's definitely producing them, if not directing them, yeah.
Was this the one where Megatron comes back, even though he's supposed to be dead?
He's always coming back, isn't he? He's got to come back.
Because Age of Extinction is the one with the new villain, isn't it?
Yeah. And I couldn't even tell you about The Last Knight. I can't even remember what happened in it. It was awful. God awful.
The Last Knight's dreadful.
Yeah.
That is really bad.
Yeah. So it's a shame, really, because, you know, it's a cool premise, and it's obviously making all the money it needs, but, yeah, there's something missing in it. I think it's Michael Bay. I think Michael Bay is just... He's like poison. But explosions. He's not box office poison. But he brings in all these stupid things. Like, there's one of the Transformers... One of them's got, hasn't one of them got a pair of balls in it? One of the Transformers got a pair of balls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was the second one. It was climbing up the pyramid, the Great Pyramid.
Is it?
His balls were climbing together.
What's going on with that? You know what I mean? It's... either make it for kids... or make it for adults, but don't do that. Don't do all these adult themes and then do childish humour like that, you know what I mean? We're all childish at heart, but come on, there's got to be a line. But anyway, any more thoughts about Transformers Dark of the Moon?
I
think it was
not the worst one.
I've seen bits of the first one, and I've seen the first Twilight, but I can't. Not really good year this year, is it?
It's not. I mean, looking at all the sequels.
You know what? You know when we go when we finish this and we go through all the films that we've not covered, I think there are loads that aren't in the top ten that I really like.
Yeah, you're right.
So we'll do that obviously in a second, though, won't we?
Yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah, because we're going to have number one in a second. Yeah. There's loads. Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
there's,
look,
there's
loads.
Some good ones. Yeah.
There's loads of brilliant films. It's just that the box office wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Well, you say that, but then a lot of people like the first, the top movie.
Yeah.
So the number one movie that year, grossing $381 million, was Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. The final Harry Potter film.
It's not over 10 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's 11 years old. Yeah. When was it released?
That is generally over 10, isn't it?
Yeah,
well?
It is. That is bigger. 11 is bigger than 10. July of the year it was released.
Did you see the anniversary thing they did on Sky?
Didn't watch it. Did you watch it?
I've been watching. Yeah, I've watched it all.
It's on
Now
TV.
It's on Now TV, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
good life.
It's good, yeah. J.K. Rowling's not in, though.
Wonder why.
She is a
It's past interviews. She's not there in the present. Yeah, she's been cancelled.
Is that because of the controversy of it?
The transgender. It's like what we were talking about with the lady boys.
I know. It is.
We'll probably get cancelled now.
Oh, no, don't cancel us.
It's just slightly worse.
But yeah. Anyway, so back to the film. What do we think of the film?
Does it deserve to be in the top spot?
Well, in terms of films that came out that year, yeah, it's the biggest film of a generation.
Yeah.
I
just thought it was a satisfying conclusion.
Yeah.
You know, given that, like, if you compare it to, say, Game of Thrones, and how that concludes the movie, God, this is it. I thought this finished good. It's difficult to wrap it up, isn't it? Like, something like Harry Potter. And the build up and everything. It's difficult to sort of say this is it, this is the finish. And I thought they did it all right.
Did it, yeah, it is. It's a good ending. I say, like, we always want the plot holes to be dealt with.
Mm.
We want characters to have their arc finished, if you like. And I think they all do, don't they? You know,
yeah.
Harry obviously does with what's his face, Voldemort. You've got Ron and Hermione. They get their arc comes together,
yeah.
You know, they come together and things like that. And then, like, the other characters, like, I'm thinking of
Mel, what's it?
The
blonde-haired kid, Malfoy.
Malfoy, yeah. Malfoy, he gets his comeuppance at the end, but then comes good near the end, doesn't he? And then you've got, like, is it Neville? Neville sort of goes from this weedy lad at the end, and at the end, he's a bit of a hero, isn't he? He's a bit of a hero. There's all these plot points which are sort of addressed, and that's what you want.
Is it this one where Snape finally becomes, like, everyone, like, starts to like Snape?
Yeah, I think it was that the one before,
old, or is it part one?
Yeah, it might have been the one before, but when we find out that he's been a force for good all the way, it might have been. It's certainly one of these, isn't it? It's either this one or the previous one.
Because it was one of these films, that's why he agreed, because he wasn't going to agree to be Snape, was he? Alan Rickman, because he said everyone's just going to hate her, everyone's going to hate me.
Yeah.
And then when he told them what the final film, or maybe second to last film, would include, he said, okay, I'll do it.
Well, wasn't it that? Didn't J.K. Rowling tell him before everyone else knew that he was a goodie, really?
Yeah, I think
even before the last book came out. Is that right? I might be making that up. But I'm sure he knew in advance. Did he not know before the last book came out that he was a goodie?
Yeah, that's what I mean, before they agreed to film the films.
Yeah.
And he agreed to play Snape, because he wasn't going to do it at first for any of them, because he just said, like, this character's not likable.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if it was J.K. Rowling or someone, but he told him how the character arc finishes.
Yeah, she took him aside and said, you can't tell anybody, and gave him a bit of,
heads
up.
Oh, boss. He's bossing it, though, isn't he? He is boss, Alan Rickman. Brilliant character. And
he's good in every film, though, isn't he?
Yeah, and you can see the, I watched these, I think, just before lockdown started, all in a row, and you can see the development of the kids acting as well. Because they're really good in this. They are good. Whereas you look at the first film, it's a bit ropey. They're down with the characters, aren't they? You know, all the kids who are in it. They're good. They're brilliant. Alright, any more thoughts? Is it the best Harry Potter film?
Yeah,
Sorry then.
What, which one?
I need to watch them all. I need to watch them all.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, I've got them out if you need them.
I've got them. It's like Star Wars, isn't it?
I know.
It's like full on.
Yeah.
You take it. I think we did it over a few weeks. We watched one every so often, and it took us about like 2 months more.
Yeah.
They always do them all the way through every year. Is it like Channel 4 or ITV or someone? They do them every Friday or something.
Yeah, yeah.
For like 7 consecutive weeks or something like that.
Yeah, they do tend to.
Towards
that, yeah.
The end of the year.
Normally ITV, like, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's usually around, is it October, November time that they do it.
By far the Harry Potter series is like the best modern day intellectual property that's emerged. No, if you look at everything else, they're all sequels, nothing original. Most things are like Transformers. Yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean is, I guess, although it was a ride.
It was a ride, wasn't it? But it is sort of original property, isn't it, really?
The Twilight Saga, okay, that's original-ish, but it's...
From a book,
it's
yeah.
Shit.
Other opinions are accepted.
What else? Fast and Furious, okay, I guess that's like newish. Sherlock Holmes, definitely not.
Yeah, definitely.
Planet of the Apes, no.
Oh, we haven't got that far yet. But yeah, I've just swapped the order on there, you see. Yeah, you're right. I mean, look at that top 10 there. Not the top 10 I've got on there, but we were looking before. It's they were all sequels, with the exception of Thor. They were all sequels. And you could even class Thor as being a sequel because it's part of it. It's the first one of the Marvel universe for him. Don't know, it's mad, isn't it? Because, I would expect this year wouldn't be like that. Or 2021 isn't that bad, surely.
For sequels?
Yeah.
I think it's worse.
Yeah. Do you really?
Yeah, I think we're not...
I can't remember.
We're not like... I think we were talking about this the other week. We're all lazy. We go with what we know.
Yeah.
We stick with what we know. We're like, if something new comes out, we're like... Eh.
Yeah, I agree with that.
2021, though, there was some gold films, gold standard films.
Yeah. All right, should we talk about some of the films that haven't been mentioned then? Has anyone got any glaring ones that stick out?
Yeah, one of my favourite all-time films, probably in my top 10.
Nice.
Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy.
Yeah.
It's like number 174.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like well down. And I don't understand why. I know it's a bit of a niche film, and it's a remake, so maybe people were thinking, but I just love it. And the cast is so strong as well. Really good cast.
Yeah, absolutely outstanding, isn't it?
And I know if Lee was with us, as he's unfortunately no longer with us, he's a big fan of it as well. I'm trying to find the exact place, but I can't find it at the moment.
Mm.
It's very low down.
Great film, yeah. So I think, Alan, you mentioned the Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, that's the first one in the new franchise.
I think so, yeah. I was really good. I was really impressed with that. Thought it was a really good take on the Planet of the Apes story, and obviously the sequels.
Much better than the Tim Burton one, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Does something different. Yeah.
It's a good trilogy, though, isn't it?
I don't think I've seen the last one, you know?
No.
The last one's sad.
Is it? Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
That's not spoilers, you're just saying it's sad.
Are you spoiled it now, Harry?
Ah, darn it.
Yeah. So, just about to talk about superhero films, but we've just been joined by James. All right, James?
Hello, you okay?
Yeah, we've done the top 10 films already, so we're just talking about any films from 2011. But I was just going to mention some of the superhero films out that year, so we've already talked about Thor. Captain America was out that year as well, the first Avenger, which I really liked, because it was just totally different to anything I'd seen before. Yes, it was an origin film, but again, still like it was different set in World War II. It was different to what you'd expect with your normal superhero films. And also very similar in the same year was X-Men First Class, which was a reboot of the X-Men franchise, and it took it back to the 60s. So this is the first one with James McAvoy in it and Michael Fassbender. And I think First Class is brilliant. It's a brilliant film. I prefer the sequel, Days of Future Past. But yeah, this one's a really good film. What do you think of them?
Yeah, I liked it, yeah.
Yeah. again, it just done something different, didn't it? Like, taking it back to the '60s, and
the good cast as well, and they match up well with the 2000s ones.
Yeah, the originals. Yeah,
the Patrick Stewart and
Ian McKellen. Sir Ian McKellen. Yeah. Brilliant, and they do a good job. I liked the sequel when they sort of joined forces with the old ones, so that was good. Any more things stand up for us?
I can't believe this. I've just been scrolling through the list, and I can't believe Insidious came in at number 69 and grossed less than 100 million worldwide.
69. Yeah, that is mad, isn't it? Because you'd imagine.
Insidious, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you'd imagine that. I mean, obviously, that was the first in the franchise, wasn't it? So, didn't do as well as you might expect, but yeah, it's.
Harry, you still on worldwide though, Harry?
I'm looking at worldwide right now, yeah.
Yeah.
You need to go back to domestic.
So is it higher domestic?
I can't find it at all.
Oh, really?
Oh,
behave.
It's not even there.
Is that answering your question?
I remember enjoying Super 8. But I can't remember anything about it other than it felt like the Goonies, or
it was very Spielberg-esque, wasn't
it?
Wasn't Spielberg, like Spiel- was it?
No, it was J.J. Abrams, apparently.
Yeah.
I remember enjoying it, but
it's
I can't.
It's 63 on domestic.
Oh, there you go. But yeah, Super 8, if I remember correctly, don't they, they're all filming a film on Super 8 camera, and don't they encounter aliens? Is that what it is?
I think so.
Something along those lines.
I can't remember it. I need to watch it again.
Yeah, I remember really enjoying it, you're right, yeah. Anyone else seen Super 8?
Yes,
no.
But I can't really remember too
can't
much.
Can't remember too much about it.
I went to see Hugo as well, Richard, and I loved that.
Yeah.
About the automata.
I love Hugo. I don't know why. It's one of those. It reminds me a little bit of Wes Anderson in that what happens in it. I don't really know. It's about the first filmmakers, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's that iconic. There's a couple of iconic films that were like the first things to be shot, and there was one of a train coming in towards a platform, and apparently loads of people thought it was going to come out the screen. And then there's the first film, I think sort of a story film, where it's people going off to the moon, and the moon is like a guy's face, and the rocket goes into his face.
Yeah.
Mm. If you see it, you'll know it.
They used it in one of the Queen videos.
The animation.
Yeah.
Like a Scorsese, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a Scorsese film, I don't think. It feels completely different.
Whereas, I didn't like it at all.
I didn't like it.
I turned it off after about 20 minutes. I didn't enjoy it at all. I couldn't get into it, and I couldn't be bothered. Maybe I need to give it another go, but yeah, I just didn't enjoy it at all.
This list is scandalous. How is Justin Bieber Never Say Never higher than
I know.
Some of these films? About that. how's that happened?
So what is that? That's just like a concept film, is it?
Yeah. we never mentioned it on ours. Like,
no. It's rubbish.
it's not worth seeing.
Never say never.
Oh God, he's back.
Another good one, or two comedy ones: Bridesmaids and Horrible Bosses.
Yeah.
Now again, Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids is amazing.
Yeah, I agree. It's basically a female version of The Hangover. And
we spoke about this, it's actually better than The Hangover, really.
Yeah.
On a second watch.
Yeah, I agree, it's funnier.
It's more intelligent, the humour's more like silly, but it's more thought about, I think, the humour. There's a lot more to it. So when you watch it on like a second or third watch, it's just as funny as the first time. Or you just get onto different laughs or different funny moments with The Hangover was amazing first time, but it's not quite effective the second, third time round watching The Hangover. It doesn't carry through, especially like over time. I think you watch the first Hangover back now, and you watch The Bridesmaids back, and you're still laughing your head off at Bridesmaids, whereas Hangover, not so much. It's quite gimmicky.
Yeah.
I think the same is about Horrible Bosses as well. What I like about Horrible Bosses is you've got the three different situations, so it's almost like the three stories in one, three different comedy bits going on. So, really like Horrible Bosses more than the Hangover films.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't seen the sequel to Horrible Bosses, though. But
It's just as good.
Is it? I'll have to give it a go. Because who's in that? It's Jennifer Aniston's in it, isn't she? And Kevin Spacey.
Good friends. Kevin Spacey, our good friend Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
This is Paul Rudd, isn't it?
Are we allowed to say that?
Not sure.
Is he?
Is Brad Pitt in it?
No, I don't think so.
Hasn't he got
no.
a bald head?
Bateman's in it. What's his name? What's his name? Jason Bateman, is it?
Yeah.
That his name?
And Charlie Day.
Charlie Day's in it, yeah, that's right. He's the one with the muzzy, like the beard, isn't he? Yeah. Yeah, good film.
I'm sure the boss has a son in it, and the son is a famous actor, but because he's got like a bald cap thing on, who's it going to be? I'm flying through the list here and I can't see. Jason Bateman, Jason Sudeikis, Charlie Day, Chris Pine. Could it be Chris Pine?
Could be.
Jamie Foxx is in it as well.
Oh yeah, he plays one of the bosses, doesn't he? That's right. Is he one of the bosses? Yes, he's one of the bosses, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's
Jennifer Aniston's the dentist. She's the one who sticks out in memory the most.
Yeah. I know.
Christoph Waltz in it as well.
Oh, well, there you go. Didn't know that.
Christoph.
Christoph.
I'm just looking at me. You've got such and such as sex addicts. Rebecca Field as sex addict. Bruno Amon, sex addict. Police officer.
That is good.
Do you know?
This is the sequel. This is the sequel. So we need to go back to the original, don't we?
Yeah.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Tron Legacy, I think, is well underrated. I loved it.
Was that 2011? Was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh well, we've talked about it in the past. Such a good film.
I've got that even now. The music is stunning. We've talked about Daft Punk before, haven't we?
Yeah.
The music in Tron Legacy. I think it's like so many films, you just got to turn it on full blast and it's incredible. Absolutely amazing film. But the effects in it as well, I think the story's good. I know we've said about the aging Death Witches we weren't fussed on, but it was good for its time, to, you know, 11 years ago, almost 10 years ago.
Yeah,
I disagree. I think it was bad at the time, but I still love the film because I remember thinking, no, that doesn't work, that. I remember looking at it and thinking, that's
wrong. I thought, oh, that looks impressive. But now it gets slagged off.
Yeah.
All the YouTubers are like, bad CG.
I know, yeah.
Show that.
It's groundbreaking, don't get me wrong, but it's
probably one of the first to use that technology, and then Star Wars did it.
I think X-Men 3 used it.
Did he?
Yeah. On what's-his-face, Patrick Stewart and Sarah McKellen. There you go.
In the future, we'll all probably just have CG de-aged faces in
just in real life.
Like we'll just hold up on like an iPad and it'll be like that.
I watched Gemini Man the other day and they've de-aged Will Smith to about 19 or 18 and it was just awful. It was horrendous.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it, and that's a modern film, isn't it? It's 2020, I think. It was atrocious. But anyway, we're not talking about that, but I don't think it works.
I know.
It just doesn't seem to look right.
But it, I mean, in the Marvel films, not X-Men, but the recent ones like Endgame and things like that, they've used it. It doesn't look too bad. It looks alright. Like, you know, Michael Douglas was de-aged, if you like. It looks alright, actually. But there you go. It's time moves on, doesn't it?
It just put loads of cream on his face, I thought.
Oil of Ulay.
Just what they've done is they pulled the back of his head, all the skin on the back of his head, and stapled it. So it's like
it
so
like
the crink.
Beetlejuice, I think.
But okay, back to
Adventures of Tintin.
Yeah, not a bad film.
I really like that, and I'm waiting. I'm really, really waiting for a sequel because the film ends with this can continue to the next stage of it. I think it's a good film, good music, bit of comedy in it, good cast, and I think it should be higher up as
It's a Spielberg one, isn't it? Didn't
yeah.
The director.
Spielberg.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it uses the same technology used for Polar Express.
Polar Express.
It looks very similar, doesn't it? Sort of like where the film and the actors, and it's the actors' faces, but not the actors' bodies. So I don't know whether it was the same technology or not. But yeah, it's a good film. Enjoyed that one.
Good story, and loads goes on in it as well.
Yeah.
So many things are going. You can every 5 minutes something new's happened. So a new part of the story's happening, which you think's good as well. Keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, it's good. A few others. So I've got a little bit of a story with Cowboys and Aliens. I've probably told this story before. So I went to pictures to see this. This is the first film I saw in IMAX. And it was a Sunday night. Laura texted me or phoned me and said, do you want to go to pictures later? I said, yeah, okay, yeah. But I'm out with the lads. So I had a few drinks and stuff. And the film was on about 5, 6 o'clock maybe. So I'd been out all day in town. And then I said, I'll meet you at the IMAX in town. Well, you know, Liverpool won. Went to the IMAX. And I'd had a few too many to drink, as I say. And I was blattered. And I remember seeing the start of the film. And I remember seeing the end of the film. Couldn't tell you anything else about the middle of the film. I do not remember a thing about the middle of the film. And Lorna was laughing at me because in the pictures it was empty. But in the pictures I was just like, Daniel Craig had his top off and stuff. I was going, oh, Daniel Craig, he's a sexy man. Just like all over the pictures. And she was laughing and poking me and telling me to stop. But I don't remember that. So it didn't happen as far as I'm concerned. I did watch it a couple of years ago, and now I know what happens. Yeah, it's not a bad film. It's all right. Not great. Harrison Ford, Daniel Craig, and aliens. Yeah. Anyone else seen it?
No. It was all right.
Yeah, it is. It's not to write home about. It's just I thought I'd mention it because I've got a little story about it, but that's about it.
Lovely story.
Thanks, Richard. True as well. True.
Real Steel.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
I like that. It's great. Robots.
Fighting robots. Robot
wars.
Robots.
It's like Robot
it
Wars.
It is. Advanced Robot Wars. It is.
Yeah. Like that film. They should have done a sequel to that, but maybe it's good they didn't. Don't know.
Drive with Ryan Gosling.
Ah, brilliant film. I love that film. That's one of my all-time favourites, that Drive. Like it?
Yeah, I love it, yeah. Like, at the time when it came out, a few people were like, you remind me of his character, and I was like, I kind of took it as a compliment. I thought, oh, he's kind of cool. I was thinking, hang on, he's kind of like a bit of a sociopath, so I was like thinking, how do I remind you of, like...
yeah.
Like, you got suspicions of me doing dodgy dealings on the sly or something like that? Even my dad said, I was like,
did he? What? Not just in looks, but I can see the resemblance, like Ryan Gosling.
I don't know. I think it was just a vibe or something. I don't know. But he's kind of cool, so I thought, I'll have that, yes.
Yeah, he is cool.
It's better than me called Ed Sheeran.
Yeah. But great soundtrack as well. I've got the soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's one of the first soundtracks I bought. There's an artist on it at the start, that Night Call song at the very beginning, Kavinsky. Oh, I've got his album as well. It's just amazing. Didn't Night Call's a great song.
Zane Lowe, I think, did an episode, or I don't know if it was a radio show, where they chose songs and they re-edited it to like what songs the soundtrack it.
Of Drive. Yeah, and they actually showed it on the telly.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, it was on BBC Three.
I remember hearing about it, but not watching it.
I'd watch that bit because I loved that bit of the film anyway. And I wasn't...
You didn't think their choices were good?
No, I prefer the original, Night Call. Night Call's
like
great.
The 80s, like synthy 80s, yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name who done it. I can see the cover of the album. Can't think of who done it. But yeah, great film. And outstanding soundtrack, I think.
I thought his acting... He was outstanding in that, I thought. Because it's one of those where... There's certain scenes where he says hardly anything. And there'll be like nothing much going on, but like they capture like a vibe, you know. Do you know what I mean? It's like you're captivated by what they're thinking about, and not many films can do that. And most films like explicitly say, this is what they're doing now,
yeah,
you know, they feel like this. So I thought that, and I think that's not easy to convey, you know, to like in a turmoil or whatever,
yeah. Yeah, it's good. Like that, he's got that social awkwardness, hasn't he?
Yeah.
In the film, and like he conveys it brilliantly. I know exactly what you mean. I can't convey it, don't worry. But yeah, I know what you mean. I think
it's one of his best roles. Then was it Blade Runner and
Blade Runner's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. Was it his first major film?
I think he had been in another one. I remember being in one with Sandra Bullock,
right,
in the mid-2000s. And but other than that, I can't remember before this. I can't remember.
Maybe it was Breakout.
Wasn't
film,
he a few rom coms and stuff?
Maybe, not sure.
Is this Ryan Gosling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in The Notebook, wasn't he? But I wasn't sure. I'm not sure when that came up.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, right, okay. Yeah. All right, yeah, good one.
That, did you class that as a rom-com, or was that straight up like romantic drama?
Yeah, I don't think it's a rom-com, the notebook, but it's a
romantic drama. Romantic drama, yeah.
Romantic, yeah, that's a good way of putting it, romantic drama. So from one romantic drama to another, The Muppets. The Muppets reboot.
You know what?
Brilliant.
I've got that here.
But Miss Piggy and Kirby.
I just love it. It's such a feel-good film. The songs are brilliant. I've got the album, the soundtrack. It's just crazy, and it's The Muppets returning. It's... What more could you ask?
Yeah, and I think what's the guy's name? Is it Jason Segel? Is it?
I've never seen
not
it.
Sure, he wrote it as well, I think, and obviously he's in it as well, and it's really good. You can tell it's done with love in it.
I used to have The Muppets in Manhattan taped off the telly with Joan Rivers in it.
Oh yeah,
and loved it growing up as a kid. It's like one of those in a way. I said like it's taped off the telly and certain bits were cut off.
Yeah, well you missed the beginning.
But I watched it over and over and over and over. It's like Kermit gets amnesia. He gets knocked out and he forgets who he is, and he thinks he's someone else. And then he goes living with someone else, and all the Muppets like think he's dead. When this came out, I loved all the merch. You could get I had an animal jumper. About the time, and like you'd go right to the supermarket, and they'd have all like I don't know Muppet. I love all that. I don't seem to get it as much, or maybe I'm just getting too old.
Well, all the Muppets are on Disney Plus because Disney own them, don't they?
Yeah,
it's all on Disney Plus, isn't it? All the Muppet stuff. And there was a Muppet show, wasn't he, last year or something?
But
I watched the first episode and I wasn't impressed.
I love like when a new movie comes out and they sell it, and they get like, because I'm like a Batman fanatic, and I put in the WhatsApp chat one time that like, oh, I thought I had Batman everything, and there's like a Batman popcorn maker and smoothie, like there's like a Batman oven, like I just love all that, like so when the Muppets came out, it was just like you get Muppets everything at that time, and I don't know, it doesn't seem to be happening as much because of COVID.
Yeah, true. Yeah, interesting. Alright, any more that stand out?
Well, talking about COVID, I can't believe that we've not mentioned
one
film that preempted it all.
Contagion.
Which was Contagion, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I watched that just as we were going into lockdown just under 2 years ago, and it's scarily similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just amazing, the coincidences, and what I like about it is you get an idea of what's going on behind the scenes. I know it's only a film, so before people start writing in, because we get hundreds of letters, don't we? People start writing in and saying, yeah, it's only... I understand that, but it just gives us an idea of how they track things down, how they find the origin of where something's come from, and I love that geeky, sciencey stuff. So cracking film, really, really good. But why has nobody mentioned it?
I know. Well, and it does show how quick these viruses do travel. Mm. Obviously, we've seen it firsthand now. But you know, it was sort of, I say, like preemptive, wasn't it, Richard? You said, and it does. Like you know, it doesn't. I started watching it the other week, and I had to turn it off because it made me feel a bit sick. Like in terms of, oh wow, this is a bit too close to the knuckle, if you like. So it does show how quick these viruses can spread, just by touch and being in the right vicinity or whatever it is. I have seen it in the past. I think what this statement come out.
I get mixed up because there's a couple that are quite similar. Is this the one with Gwyneth Paltrow at the start? She gets it, and then is it got Kate Winslet in it? One of the doctors.
Yeah. Because there's another one where doesn't the fellow lock himself in his house because there's like a dirty bomb? What's that called?
There's Outbreak, where there's a monkey and it's Dustin Hoffman. That was from the 90s, mid 90s.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of another one, sorry, where it's like there's a dirty bomb's gone off. So a fella sort of locks himself in the house and then tapes all the doors up and all the windows so that like the virus or whatever it is can't get in. But then, I'm going to spoil it because I can't remember what it's called. At the end, it turns out that because he's in the house, all he's infected with it anyway because there was something else in there. I can't remember what it was, but because he's taped all the windows, there's no ventilation, so he killed himself anyway. But I can't remember what it's called, but it's very similar. Any more?
I've got three.
Go on, Richard.
My first one first of all, Arthur Christmas, we talked about that loads because we've just had Christmas, so I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
There was a Christmas special, not last year, but the year before. So Arthur Christmas, I love.
Yeah.
Limitless, I really enjoyed that as well. You know, you take the pill and it just opens up what your brain can do.
Yeah.
Everything that you've ever learned, that you've ever seen, you can remember it. I thought that was fascinating. And yet all of those memories are still in your brain, and it just releases that, and it allows you to reach your full potential. I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that film.
I did enjoy that. Who's in that? Is that Ryan Reynolds?
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, that's right.
Robert De Niro.
Oh, right, yeah, that's right. Because I get that mixed up with In Time, with
Justin Timberlake.
I like that one. That was good. That was out this year as well, where everyone's got a time limit on their wrist.
Oh, and time's like currency,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, and time's currency. So you work, the longer you work, the more time you get, that sort of thing. I thought, yeah, but it felt very similar at the time, In Time. But there you go, yeah. Good films then too, yeah. I was also going to mention Source Code. I love that film. I think it's fantastic. Go on, how'd you say his name? Jake Gyllenhaal, is that right?
Yeah.
That is pronounce uh-huh. it. Can I pronounce his name?
Very claustrophobic, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I love like sort of looping films, like, you know, like Groundhog Day and what have you. And if you count it, Source Code is exactly like that. And I love the ending. The ending was a great twist. I've actually been there to Chicago where it finishes. I've been to that that monument where it's like the big. The jelly bean, I think they call it, like a big reflective jelly bean. Yeah, but yeah, Source Code, great film.
127 hours.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
You're not seeing it?
No.
Yeah, I've not seen it, but it's one of those that you know about.
James Franco and what's his? Danny Boyle.
Danny Boyle,
Danny
director. Boyle,
director. Yeah.
Really which good. Franco is it? That's been cancelled.
Is it James? James has done a few dodgy things, hasn't he?
Is he more than one, is he?
I don't know, what's the other one done?
I don't know, it's one or the other, but I think one of them is either sexual abuser or something.
Wasn't. I know James Franco was. He was messaging, like, underage girls or something, and, like.
That was, yeah, that was a while ago.
But he was kind of forgiven for that, wasn't he?
Oh, it's fine.
It's like. Yeah. Wasn't that before they did. He won Oscars and stuff for what's his face? The Room.
Oh yeah, it was Sleeping with Students in his acting school.
All right.
James Franco.
Yeah. So who's the other Franco? Is he two Francos? Is he?
Yeah, they're both in
he's
that The Disaster Artist, is it? The one about the room.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one yet. But yeah. What's the other guy's name then?
I can't remember his name.
It's Dave Franco.
Oh, Dave?
He's in Now You See Me. He's in, I'm pretty sure he's in 21 Jump Street.
I can't think of him.
Wait, is it Frank Franco?
No, it's Dave Franco.
That does sound like a made up name. Dave. Just Dave Franco.
There's Dave Franco and there's Tom Franco, there's three of them.
Oh,
there's another one. Is he an actor as well?
I'm really not lying. Like, Dave Franco, he's in the Jump Street films and Now You See Me films.
I can't think of his face. Can't even think of who he is. Does he look like James Franco?
Yeah, he does a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, put
it
in the group. Yeah, need to know who he is. Any more that we need to mention? James, you got any to mention?
No, he's on mute. Last one from me, I promise. It's one of the films that's haunted me most in the last couple of years. It's called The Skin I Live In. Antonio Banderas. It's a remake of a Spanish film, and basically he's a plastic surgeon. His wife died in a car fire a long, long time ago, and he's trying to perfect a skin that doesn't burn, but he's got a human guinea pig, and it's really affected me, and it's one of those where you go watch it, so I definitely recommend it.
Yeah.
It will affect you, and it will constantly come back, and you'll just think, oh, that was quite a film. That so really, really good film. That's The Skin I Live In. So there you go.
Well, I'm just going to mention three more. If that's okay. Quickly, Sucker Punch, That is creepy, that Richard. Richard's just showing us the picture on the screen. Sucker Punch was Zack Snyder. I should have loved this film, but it was just a bit strange.
Yeah.
You know, people, like anime-esque sort of girls fighting giant monsters. I should have loved this, and I just didn't.
It's meant to be, like, I remember reading about it, and his intentions were so, like, female, be empowering to females, but yeah. At the same time, it's like someone with mental health problems, but in, like, scantily clad, like, yeah. outfits, like,
yeah.
It just doesn't work, does it?
No, it doesn't. But it's, yeah. On paper, I'd go, oh yeah, that sounds interesting. But no, it didn't. It wasn't quite as good. I'm sure you liked it as well. The Inbetweeners film. Used to love the Inbetweeners series, and the film is just as good. Yeah, brilliant.
I've never seen it.
And then there's one more that I wanted to mention. Just that. I didn't see it at the time, but I watched it on when it was on Amazon or whatever. Is Hall Pass, and I wasn't expecting much from this. It's a comedy where a couple are sort of falling out of love, and they agree between them that they get a hall pass. And what that means is that they get to sleep with someone this weekend, and it doesn't affect the relationship. And then they come back together the next week. And I think it's two couples who do it, and then and comedy ensues. And it was just a good romantic comedy. It was good. It was really enjoyable. Hall Pass. Yeah, I was surprised by it. I wasn't expecting much, and I really enjoyed it. Anyone else seen it?
No.
James might have. James has seen it. Oh, good stuff. All right, any more last call for any? 2011? Is 2011 over? Scream 4 was out that year as well, James, just so you're I'm sure you like that one.
Harry Potter 1 comes up. Harry Potter's definitely
what was that one called?
Scream 4.
Scream 4, it's the worst one of all the Scream films.
But still enjoyable.
Not really, I think it's actually really bad.
Oh really? Oh, there you go. I thought you liked it, there you go.
No, the worst one, it's definitely the worst one, Scream 4.
Yeah.
In the order, Scream 1, Scream 2, Scream 3, Scream 5, Scream 4.
Well, there you go.
I've seen Scream 5.
Well. When you were talking about Hall Pass, then I wanted to say something, there was loads of stuff going on in the background.
Oh yeah,
good. Hall Pass is a really, really, really good film. It's really funny.
Yeah.
I love what's his name in it. The guy off The Office, what's his name, and he's in Extras as well. British actor.
Oh, Ricky Gervais.
No.
Oh, Stephen Merchant. I can't think of his name. Stephen Merchant. I can't think
what's
either.
Name?
I can't remember. It came out.
Martin,
it came out 10 years ago.
Martin Freeman.
No, the really tall fella with the glasses, and he's in Extras as well.
Stephen Merchant.
It's got to be.
Stephen Merchant. Yeah. He's in Hall Pass as well. He's brilliant in it.
That's right, he is in it. But yeah, I like that film. It's good.
I think I worked with someone who'd worked with him, and he said he's the biggest. TIT.
Tit, for those who can't tell.
out of anyone that met, he said it was like,
really?
He had a really, like, he thought a really big ego.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's all allegedly, because obviously we know he listens. And, when he's on the show, he can defend himself then.
Yeah.
Super. All right, should we wrap 2011 up?
Yes.
Put it in a bow, stick it in the attic, and don't look at it ever again. Good year?
I think so.
Okay, so we'll go round and see what our favourite films of that year would be. And I think we're going to start with Richard Earlham.
I think it's Earlham, so just die. Definitely.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there.
All the time.
Yeah, I could have picked that one for you. Harry, what do you think? What's your favourite film of the year?
I'm going to go with Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's a classic. Alan?
Usually I struggle with this, but it's Tron Legacy, without a doubt. Loved it.
Yeah. James, what about you?
In between us.
Oh, yeah. Hey, this is, we're all different, aren't we? Because I'm struggling myself, because it's between Source Code, Drive, or Tron Legacy. So I'm going to go for Tron Legacy for myself, because I've seen it more than the others, probably. Great soundtrack, though. Yeah. So, yeah, good year and all. All right, Richard Earlham, what's our next episode going to be?
Well, it's going to be about films, I think.
Makes sense.
Naked Attraction special.
It's a what? Naked Attraction.
I'll have that TV on,
hasn't it? I think we could do another. We need to do another. The films of. So I think, seeing as James is back with us, I think we could do the films of for James. So.
What, the so James has James. To pick. James has to pick an actor or actress.
God, no. I don't know why I've said I've not started any.
Well, I'm just looking at your IMDb list there, James, and you've been in quite a lot of films. So.
I'll have a little think tonight. I'll try and think of someone who I like, not as obvious.
Yeah.
She's all think I got with Al Pacino or something,
Have a think about it. But anyway, thanks for listening, buddy. We really appreciate all your listens. If you want to get in contact, we're on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or you can email us chatandflicks@hotmail.com. And we'll see you next episode. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.